Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We are today in lesson 300, and we're going to continue now from Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 3. But before we get to that scripture, I'd like to correct one statement that I made before that. In last lesson, it was not totally correct because it was not fully the reality of what it was. In other words, in chapter 21, I was saying that the rabbis, basically, based on this scripture in verse 5, chapter 21 and verse 5, where we read the instructions of the priesthood that were given to them. These few chapters here are strictly to the priesthood. 21, and 22. And it was not for Israel, but for the priesthood. And so I said that in verse 5, where it says, they shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corners of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. Now, these three instructions were things that the priest of Baal were doing, the people of the land were doing. But basically, generally speaking, it was the priests, the men of religion, that were doing it. And oftentimes, the people of the land will join them in doing so. And we have the example, as we mentioned, of the priest of Baal and of Ashtoreth and other gods that Elijah was confronting, and that's basically what they were doing. And there I was saying that the rabbis, based on this one here, they prohibited the people from, that is the people of in the Jewish community, from cutting the corners of their beard. Well, that's the way they interpreted that, the corners of the beard, and that is not totally correct. So I'd like to make this correction here. One thing I have to explain also, in terms of what happened before that, in chapter 19 and verse 27, we read a similar statement, and this time it is in terms of the people of the land, in other words, the children of Israel, and not the priesthood. So that statement that it was only for the priesthood was not entirely correct, but the conclusion was still the same thing. In chapter 19, verse 27, we read the same instruction. Again, with the same context, that God is telling them, when you come to the land, there are certain things you should not do there, because that's what the people of the land are doing. And just like he told the priesthood, do not follow the custom of the priests of the land. And so in verse 27, actually in verse 26, he tells them, you shall not eat with the blood, because the people of the land were doing it, neither shall you practice divination, nor soothsaying. And the people of the land of Canaan were doing that. So he tells them, you don't do those kind of things because those people are idol worshippers. And you should not follow in their examples. Verse 27, you shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shall you mar the corners of your beard. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh, nor the dead, nor imprint any marks upon you. I am the Lord, and profane not your daughter, and so forth. Speaking about what the people of the land used to do too. So in essence, he's giving the same instructions to both Israel and the priesthood. So the statement that it was only to the priesthood was not correct. And the Pharisees, basically the Pharisees, the rabbis obviously based it on these two statements, both for the priesthood and the people of Israel. Now the reality is still the same. When you consider that, the corners of the beard, you see, when you look at Jewish boys at a very young age, age 3, they begin to have that practice, you know, when the hair begins to grow. They already begin to have those curly sides on both sides of the ear. And the reality is, boys don't have beards, you see. And not until they are in their 20s, and later on when they really have a real beard. And so that would not be an issue for them, and therefore it's not applicable to them. So you can see the instruction was not for that, because that's how they interpret that. You know, when you ask them, you know, why your little children have those little long, curly side locks there, they will tell you basically, well, this is the statement that tells us not to do it. And the reality is, children don't have beards, so this statement cannot be applicable to them. So in other words, it's still a misinterpretation on their part. And the fact is, still, that the corners of the beard, what you have there around the ear, has nothing to do with the beard. That's not a part of the beard. The beard is, you know, generally on the cheeks and all the way down, you see. So in either case, it's still the same explanation, just was not correct to say that the rabbis based it only on the instructions of the priesthood. That statement was given also to Israel. Anyway, now and then we need to make some corrections, and this is one of them. And so let's continue now with chapter 22 and verse 3, where God basically tells the priesthood that be it Israel or the priesthood, if they do things that are contrary to the will of God, He's going to punish them for that. And so as we read in chapter 22 and verse 3, let's repeat that again. This is what Moses is telling Aaron. That's what God told Moses to tell Aaron, verse 1. And so in verse 3 we read, say unto them, whosoever he be of all your seed throughout your generations that approaches unto the holy things, all the holy things that people bring to the temple, the sacrifices and offerings and vows and things like that. So any of the priesthood, any of the priests, any of the Levites who is involved with that, but specifically the priesthood, they are the ones who offer the sacrifices. The Levites are helping them. So any one of them who is going to approach to anything that is holy to God, which is children of Israel, hallow unto the Lord, that is sanctify and bring it to God, having his uncleanness upon him, and earlier he described all kind of uncleannesses that he may have, either unclean by reasons of sickness or whatever it may be, or his body is not in the shape that it should be, broken leg, hand, all kind of things like that. If he does that, in spite of that, having uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from before me. You see? God was not going to tolerate that, because God is a jealous God. He's a holy God. And that's in essence what we mentioned earlier when we talked about idolatry. Through Joshua, God was saying to them, you are in a state of mind where you are totally idol worshippers. You really cannot serve God. You see, unless you totally repent and get that idolatry out of your heart and mind. But you know, it is so deeply in your heart and mind, it is so deeply in human nature, that in reality, you really can't serve God. You see? So in essence, it was not just to discourage them. No, you know, it's just forget all about it and then go somewhere else. But it is to make them understand that. That as long as they continue in their state of mind of thinking that they can worship God on one side and do their own thing on the other side, they really can't worship God. That's exactly what Jesus Christ was saying also to his people. That any man, you know, that forsakes everything and puts his hand to the plow, you see, and he begins to follow Jesus Christ, if he looks back, he said, he's not worthy of me. And so people like that, basically Christ is saying, I'm not going to be able to worship him and follow him and be in the kingdom. That's in essence what Joshua is saying here. And so God wants them to realize that they should not be playing games with the laws of God. They should not add to it. They should not diminish. They should not alter it. They should not follow the reasoning of the rabbis that came later on, who leaned to their own understanding. You see, that's what the Talmud is all about. Men's attempt to interpret what the Bible says without the Holy Spirit leading them to truth. You see, that never dawned on them. That is not given to them to interpret something without direct link and guidance and direction and inspiration from God. And when man does that with all the good intentions, with all the sincere desires to do that and study the Word of God, we're not going to arrive at the right conclusion, and therefore we're going to do things which are not in accord with the will of God, you see, and we're going to incur the wrath of God because of that. That's in essence what happened in the beginning of the story of the family of Aaron. You see, when his two sons, after the sanctification of the temple, they leaned to their own understanding. The fire went out. They probably drank a little bit too much, because God mentions a drinking problem right after that of wine. And they just fell asleep and the fire went out. And they were supposed to be active, agile, vigilant, you see, watchful, on guard, on the job, you see, minding the work that God gave them. Well, they didn't do any of that. So they got up in the morning, and lo and behold, the fire was gone. So now they leaned to their own understanding. They didn't ask Aaron. Aaron didn't ask Moses, because obviously they didn't ask him. And therefore, they thought, well, what are we going to do under the circumstances? Well, the human nature is basically that. Well, I got to do something. In other words, lean to my own understanding. You see? And when they did, they paid the penalty for it. Death. God zapped them. He did not forgive them to begin with. They did not ask for forgiveness. But on the other hand, God wanted to make a point. You do not lean to your own understanding when you obey me. I give you specific instructions. You follow them. And I can see the majority of all of us, to one degree or the other, we are guilty of that. We lean to our own understanding, and that's idolatry. We become the idol. You see? That's what it means, idolatry. It's far beyond than just making a little statue or things like that. And, you know, people just put it on a pedestal and bow down to it or whatever it may be. That's far beyond that. This is just a facade of idolatry. Anytime we lean to our own understanding, lean to our own imagination, lean to our own intelligence, our thoughts, our feelings, the way we think about it, and we're going to do it our own way, that's idolatry. That's what God was saying. Do not have other Elohim beside me. Whether they're things above or under or beneath or around or inside your brain or whatever it may be, just don't. Do not lean to your own understanding, you see, because if we do, we're going to come up with something else that is contrary to the will of God, and now and then God, you know, is going to have to make a point there to get our attention, and somebody's going to pay the penalty for it, the ultimate one, at least in this lifetime, of death. And so that's what he's saying to them. Don't do that, because I am the Lord. You are not the Lord. In other words, he's saying, I am the Lord. That's the statement that he's going to repeat many times when he tells them what to do. He reminds them, I am the Lord. You are not. You do not lean to your own understanding. And yet you would notice that the majority of the things that we do in life on a daily basis, we lean to our own understanding. We do not seek the Word of God. We do not study day and night so that we would know exactly what He wants in everything that we do in life, in services, in music, in the divine service, in worship, on a daily basis, at work, at home. You see, in every area of life, we lean an awful lot to our own understanding, and we do not study the Word of God day and night to really know what we should do that is pleasing and that is according to the will of God. Every time we do it, we are into idol worship. You see? That's why God says, also come out of Babylon, because Babylon functions that way. Ordinary people, apart from God, so they lean to their own understanding. What else are they going to do? And they've got their own idols because of that. And God says Babylon is full of idols. And that's what he's talking about. Not only just the physical things that, you know, that people make with their own hands and bow down to it. And so God says, you remember that. Don't do that. If you do, that soul shall be cut off because I am the Lord. You see? You are not. And that's why, as we mentioned earlier, about idolatry, what the Apostle Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, he says, you've got to put down, bring into subjection, complete subjection, you know, every high thing that exalts itself above God, and bring it into subjection, that is, to Jesus Christ, every imagination, every thought, everything. If Christ is not the one who is living his life in us, in everything, we're into idol worship. You see, it's as simple as that. It's not easy to follow Christ. It's a very narrow road. It's a very hard road. And only the people who are wholly given to it gradually would learn to be more and more like Him. And until they get to that point, they are going to be also idol worshippers at the same time. And God is patient and merciful. And He understands that. He does not demand perfection overnight. You see? But on the other hand, He wants to see us going in the right direction. And drop along the way the idols that we're carrying with us. Excess luggage. And so that's what God is saying. I am the Lord. So always remember in everything that we do what God says. I am the Lord, not us. You see? And the more we think that way, the more we do that, you see, and the more we lean to His understanding and study His Word day and night and meditate on it day and night and think of Him day and night, the more we're going to worship Him and the less we're going to worship our own idols, the works of our own hands or our own mind and intelligence. It's not an easy profession. Verse 4, what man soever of the seed of Aaron is a leper or has an issue, he shall not eat of the holy things until he be clean. So sickness, disease, whatever it may be, you see, and people learn from that. You're sick, get away from everybody, don't contaminate everybody, as the manner of many is, you know, they are sick, they go to the office and they get everybody else sick. That's how diseases, which are infectious, spread around. people will have no concern, no regard to others, and obviously do not love others as they love themselves. They do not walk in the royal law. They lean to their own understanding. They do not obey the laws of God that says, get out of here when you're sick, you see, for the good of everybody else, and also because you should not be around people when you're unclean. And so the holy priesthood, they were sanctified to be holy. That's what God tells them. Don't appear before me when you're in that condition. Don't think, well, nobody else is going to do my job. God is not interested in you doing your job when you're in that state of mind, or body, or flesh, or whatever it may be. And so it says, whoso touches anyone that is unclean by the dead, or from whomsoever the flow of seed goes out, you know, something that men do at night, now and then, or whosoever touches any swarming thing, whereby he may be made unclean, or a man of whom he may take uncleanness, whatsoever uncleanness he has, the soul that touches any such thing shall be unclean until the even, and shall not eat all the holy things. So speaking about the priesthood again, unless that is, he bathes his flesh in water. In other words, first he has to sanctify himself, cleanse himself. You see, that's how Christ is washing his bride, sanctifying her by his own blood, so she would be without spot, without blemish, glorious and majestic, you see? And people do not study the Torah of God, the instructions of God, the teachings of God. They come to that scripture in Ephesians and other places where it talks about it one way or the other, and they don't understand what they are reading. And the thing that they are in that category, you see? And to begin with, they are not even the church of God. They are not the bride of God. They think they are. You see? Unless God, unless the Father calls us on an individual basis, it's not, well, you are born into it. You know, my father is Christian, I'm Christian. He takes me to church, and that makes me a Christian. No, it doesn't make you a Christian. Or a follower of Christ. Or a follower of the God of Israel, who is Christ. You see? Those who do not have the Spirit of Christ are none of His. Those who do not follow Christ, even if they have the Spirit of Christ, and they do not follow Christ in everything, are not totally His, maybe partially. You see, and all of us are in this category. And so there are gradations there. And God makes it very plain. That's the way I wash you, by the Word. And that's what He was praying in His last prayer to the Father about His disciples, which were all Jews, about His people, and the entirety of the church that was going to come out of this endeavor at that particular time, which were all Jews, until He began to call and bring more into the fold also, some Gentiles, you see. And all of them were raised on the Torah, and all of them understood what He's talking about when He was praying that. Sanctify them by Your Word. This is the Word that we are reading it. And when we follow that and obey it, we are being sanctified, and if we don't, we are not. And the prayer of Jesus Christ does not avail us anything. You see? And His blood is not going to wash us and cleanse us and purge us from our sins and iniquities, because we have to repent and not touch the unclean things. That's why you read later on about the people of God, where God commanded them to come out of Babylon. And you go to the book of Isaiah, to the warnings that God gives to His people through the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 52, he says, chapter 52, verse 1, awake, awake. In other words, stop being asleep. A lot of people are asleep and they think that they are awake. Put on your strength, O Zion, speaking about His people. And in specific, speaking about the entirety of the house of Israel, which all of them are going to be saved. And some people apply it only to the church in their ignorance, you know, and they talk about the Gentile church, and it's not talking about the Gentile church, it's talking about the people of God, the bride of Israel, of God, that is the bride Israel. You see? That's true. The majority of them are today not where they should be. They are into idolatry, into darkness, into confusion, thinking that they are the people of God, thinking that they are the church. Many of them, you know, they're the so-called Christians. But they're in ignorance, and on the other hand, you know, we find the people of Judah, also the people of God, a part of the bride, a part of the bride of Jesus Christ, who are mostly still with the veil over their head. They don't see it here clearly. And so God is telling to all of His people Israel, and to the ones that He called, obviously, out of the nations, out of the Gentiles, who are now members of the commonwealth of Israel. He says, awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion, put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. And the holy city is symbolic of the nation of Israel, for the uncircumcised and the unclean. You see, the concept of holiness and cleanness is always there throughout the entirety of the book from beginning until the end. That's the law of God. You see, we're reading now the law, the Torah. As I mentioned, the Torah is not something that you find only in the five books of Moses. That's saying every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is the Torah, which means instructions, teaching, doctrine. That's what later on is called the doctrine of Christ or the apostles. That's what they taught from the book of Moses, from the prophets and the writings, the Psalms and so forth. And what they taught and magnified became known by people. They called it New Testament. God didn't call it New Testament. New Testament is when he makes a marriage covenant with his people. You see, beginning with his own people in the Last Supper, when he told them to drink of the wine, which is the blood of the New Testament. That is to come, the new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. But here he tells them, the time will come with the uncircumcised and the unclean. People who disregard the laws of God, of cleanness, of purity, of righteousness, physically, morally, spiritually, in every way, which are all described in the Torah in detail. God doesn't need to do it again and again and again and again, because people do not see it in the teachings of the apostles in detail, you know, as much as it was in the book of Moses. They think, well, that's the old stuff. They don't realize God doesn't need to repeat himself all the time. You don't see the ten oracles of God, which people call the Ten Commandments, repeated every 3-4 chapters. You see, there is no need for it. That's why God says the Torah was not done away with. You've got to study it day and night. And so that explains all these things, what is clean, what is unclean. That's what we are reading now in Leviticus and other places. And so God says the uncircumcised and the unclean, you see, who do not obey the laws of God. And you go to Revelation, you see the same statement again. Revelation 21, verses 2 to 27, describes also all those people who are unclean people. Unclean because they are not sanctified by the word of God, you see, that was given from the beginning of time, and is specific to Israel as a nation, as the wife of God, as the bride of God, and of Jesus Christ, because that's the same person. And so it says here, the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. You see, now they do. And because they do, they defile the city. And then God speaks to his people, and this whole chapter talks about the salvation that is to come. And, for example, in verse 10, you read, before that, we read about the deliverance that he's going to bring to Jerusalem, to the waste places in verse 9. For the Lord has comforted his people, he's redeemed Jerusalem. He's speaking about the future. Again, his people, that's the bride of God. As we made abundantly clear, you know, through that special series there about who and what is the church. You see, the people of God. The Holy One of Israel, Jesus Christ. And so in verse 10 we read, and the Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God, the salvation that is coming to Zion, to Jerusalem, to his people, Judah and Israel, which is going to regather and bring back to their own land and marry them. That's a new covenant that he's going to make with the house of Judah and the house of Israel. It's not a Gentile church. There is not such a thing. God has no Gentiles in his church, period. Former Gentiles, yes, but no Gentiles. You see, you only, he told his own people, Israel, I have chosen. They are going to be my wife. That's what he means by that. All the rest will become the children. And so he tells to his people, today only there are a few of them. They walk in the Spirit. They're being called by God. They're given to Jesus Christ. They're being prepared to become a part of the bride. The overwhelming majority of them are children of Israel. And before that, they didn't know that. They thought they were Gentiles. You see? And some of them are Gentiles also, obviously, because God also calls sprinklings from the nations. But his wife would always was, is, and will always be Israel, the descendants of Jacob. And so he says to his people, depart, depart. And that's a message that he gives to the entirety of the house of Israel. Some of them are in the Spirit, and so they understand it. Others are going to understand it yet in the future. The story is not over yet. All of Israel will be saved, and they cannot be saved unless they're brought to the knowledge of the truth and the understanding of that. And they'll begin to read these scriptures and begin to obey them. God says, depart, depart. Go out from there. Speaking about Babylon. touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Be clean, you that bear the vessels of the Lord. Not only very few, but as time goes by, it's going to be the entirety of the house of Israel. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Eternal will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. He's the God of Israel, you see. And Israel is His people. And the Israel of God is not only made of few, but gradually all of Israel, you see, will be grafted back to their own natural tree. And that's what He's talking about. And right after that, He talks about the sprinkling and cleansing that is going to come to His people through the sacrifice. And that leads into the story of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You know, the suffering servant, the end of chapter 52 of Isaiah. Of course, there are no chapters from the point of view of God. The story goes on. He talks about His servant and how He was marred more than any man. And then he's speaking about the entirety of the story of Jesus Christ there in terms of His ministry and ultimate sacrifice. Why? To cleanse and purge and purify His bride, His wife, Israel, to make her holy, glorified, beautified, that is, without spot, you see, without blemish, obedient again to the law. As He said, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I will put My laws, My Torah, in their heart. It's not going to be in a book anymore that nobody knows what's in it and nobody studies as they should. You see, that's what He's talking about. And a false church, in essence, appropriated certain things about Christ, totally rejected His law, the laws of cleanness, and they think that they are His people. And we are the church that tell everybody, and we're going to heaven. All fairy tales. And so God made it very plain. I want you to be clean and pure, and you do not come to the temple, to the priesthood, He says. And all of Israel ultimately are a royal priesthood, so don't touch anything unclean. And this law is still enforced to this very day. That's what Christ was saying. Don't think that I came to do away with this Torah or the prophets. You know, all the teachings that I gave you before that in person, He is the one that gave it to them. Don't think that I came to do away with that. And a false religion taught, well, no, that God was the God of the Old Testament. He's the Father. Now we've got a new God, that's Jesus Christ. You see? Totally, it's a religion totally based on lies and deceptions and a little bit of truth. That's what Babylon is all about. God says, come out of that. So Jesus Christ gave them that Torah, and He says, don't think that I came to do away with it. I came to magnify it, to make you understand it even more, so you can obey it not only in the letter, but also in the spirit. Understand the depth of it, so you would really know what the prophets had known who had the Holy Spirit, what Moses understood when I gave him this Torah, you see, and all the men of God before that. So you too will be of the same nature and develop My character of holiness and purity, and without holiness none can see Me or see the Father. That's what He's talking about here. So He's telling the priest, don't touch anything that is unclean, and if you do, don't come to Me until you bathe yourself, until you cleanse yourself. And that's what Peter says to the brethren also, all children of Israel that he's writing to. He's not writing to the Gentiles. He's not the apostle of the Gentiles. He's the apostle of the circumcision. And people forgot that, and they think that he's the apostle of Rome. And he's not. He's not the Peter of Rome. He's not the first pope. That's an invention of a false religion. He was always, and is, and will be, always, a minister of the circumcision, and one of the tribes of Israel will become his to rule over in the kingdom. That's what Christ told His disciples, the 12 of them. All of you are going to sit on 12 thrones judging the tribes of Israel, not judging the nations, the Gentiles. You see, that's what people are in Babylon. They know nothing about the religion. They think they do. They just follow lies and believe lies and walk in them. They're in darkness. And so God says, you bathe yourself in the water, you see. That's how God washes us and cleanses us, by His Word. This is not an ethereal religion, you see. There's a physical application to it and a spiritual one. And this is what you read here is a physical, but it has a spiritual application. Come clean before Me always. Verse 7, and when the sun is down, he shall be clean. You see, so you bathe yourself, and at the end of the day, you're going to be clean. Then you can come to Me, you see, and that's what He says. And afterward, he may eat all the holy things, because it is His bread. You know, it's given to him by My instructions. that which dies of itself, that is an animal or a stone, all the beasts, he shall not eat to defile himself therewith. I am the Eternal. Always remember who is your boss, who is the husband, giving the instructions to the wife. Don't do your own things. You see, we live in an age where that is not, unfortunately, the reality. That's why God says through the prophet Isaiah again, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Well, we reach an age because of abuse of a long time by men over the women. Now women want to do their own thing. You see? Instead of saying, well, now that we are free, you know, let's obey the voice of God so we can really be free and walk in the liberty of the law. They want to walk in their own law, and they don't realize things are going to get much worse for them because of that. Not better. And so, that's what he's saying here. I am the Lord. Always remember that. Verse 9, they shall therefore keep my charge, not their own, lest they bear sin for it, and die therein, if they profane it. I am the Eternal who sanctifies them. And he's repeating that constantly again and again and again, both to the priesthood and then to Israel. And for all mankind who are interested in walking in the ways of God, they must remember this too, and follow in the same Torah, as he told his people. But when you go to the land and you've got strangers among you, they too shall obey the same Torah, because nobody's going to be in my land, nobody's going to be in my kingdom and think they can get away with disobedience to my Torah and think, well, that's only for the people of God, it's not for me. It says, everyone is going to have the same Torah. One Torah shall be to all of you and to the stranger that is among you. And when God was calling the strangers, you see, the non-Israelites, the Gentiles, he commanded them also to walk in the same Torah. But he was patient with them in the beginning. And the issue of circumcision is a one item there, just like he was patient with Abraham. He didn't command him the first time when he asked him to come, or commanded him to come to the land of Canaan to circumcise himself. He waited 25 years. And some people don't understand that. They think, oh, Paul did away with circumcision and he taught against it. No, he did not. If you do not, you do not have the context and the background, you don't know what was really going on there. You see, and to this very day, a lot of people are unclean, where God makes it very plain, again and again and again, in terms of the future too. No uncircumcised, as it said in Ezekiel, when we just read it in Isaiah, no uncircumcised in the flesh, or in the spirit, you see, in the heart that is, which is the same, will come before me. He's not going to accept anyone like that. So you have to understand what the circumcision was all about. Anything that is unclean is not accepted before God. You see? But at the same time, none of us can be perfect overnight. So we're still unclean to a large degree. But still, we're walking in the way of cleanness, and gradually we're going to master the whole thing. You see? That's how we come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. When we're obedient now to every single word that proceeded out of his mouth, which was received from the Father. But he does not demand, obviously, all that, no more than you demand from a little baby to suddenly know it all. You put up with an awful lot of uncleanness from the baby, you see. But on the other hand, the baby is proceeding toward adulthood. He doesn't remain a baby, you know, at age 14 and 16 and 25 and 30. That's what the Gentiles are saying when they say the Lord is not for us. And so this is what God says to his people, to the priests, to the people of Israel, to the spiritual Israel. You shall therefore keep my charge, lest they bear sin for it, and die therein. If they profane it, I am the Eternal who sanctify them, and this is Jesus Christ speaking. And that's what he prayed to the Father, sanctify them by your word. And here is the word that we are reading, and people have contempt for it. Verse 10, there shall no common man eat of the holy thing, in other words, no non-priest, common man is Israelite. Well, the word doesn't say here common. In Hebrew, that's an English translation for it. In Hebrew, the word is basically foreigner, zar. Well, he's a foreigner to the temple, that's what it means. Not foreigner in the sense of not Israelite. And that's what God says. A person who is zar, that means a foreigner, anybody who is not of the priesthood is considered to be a foreigner. You see, he said a person like that should not eat it because that's only for the priesthood. So there shall no common, translated into common, not a priest, man eat of the holy thing. And for that reason, the people of the land, apart from the priesthood, were called the common people. That means not priest. A tenant of a priest. So God says, these are the prohibitions here. A common man shall not eat of it. A tenant of a priest or a hired servant shall not eat of the holy thing. This kind of people, they're all foreigners to the temple. See? But, verse 11, if a priest buy any soul, that is, in those days, they used to buy servants. Nowadays, we call them bosses, you know, that hire employees. It's the same thing. If he buy any soul, the purchase of his money, he may eat of it. So now he comes under the category of being a member of the household of the priest. And that's why you read this terminology oftentimes later on in the writings of the disciples. And he was baptized in all of his household. You see, because they all come under the same category now, just like with Abraham. He was circumcised in all of his household. That's the terminology. Anybody who is a member of your household is a member of your family. And so when God extends the promises and covenants and blessings to Abraham, he extends it to the entirety of his household, whoever may be there. And obviously in those days, the members of his household were, you know, people that came with him from Babylon, later on from Syria, Haran. And certainly, they were not his sons or daughters, you see. He had only one son, Ishmael, and after that he had Isaac, and all of them were circumcised. And obviously, women are not. And so when he talks about the household, all the men that were born there and all the slaves that he had, they're all in the category of his own children, his own family, the household of God. You see, in that case, it was the household of Abraham. That's what God is saying here. If a man becomes a private property in that sense, in other words, a member of the household of the priest, now he can eat it because God sanctifies him. You see? You understand these things and you go to the writings of the disciples and you begin to understand more and more many statements that they're making there. That if the wife has a husband who is not converted, he's not in the truth, you see? Then, you know, she should behave herself in a proper way and walk before God in fear and obey His laws and commandments. Because then her children are going to be sanctified also by that. You see, even though the father may not be, or the other way around. Or if a husband is in the body of Christ, or if the wife is in the body of Christ and the husband is not, back and forth, whichever it may be, the others become sanctified because they are, you see, because they are members of the household. You see, that's how you study the Torah and then you understand the entirety of it as you go forward into the future spiritual connotations. And that's what God is saying here. If he buys a soul, that is, if he has somebody working for him, and he's a property, not just somebody that comes and goes to his own home, you see, then he becomes a member of his household, and therefore he can eat of the bread. And such as are born in his house, you see, he had slaves and they had children, they too are members of his household. They had just become like the priest. You see, an Israelite cannot, and here it is a slave and maybe a foreigner, he can eat. But obviously, generally speaking, the slaves that the priest had were their own members of their own community of Israel, you see. And if he had a slave that was from a foreign nation, before he can eat it, he has to be circumcised and become a part of the law, obedient to the law, you see. So all that had to be taken into account. And so such which are born in his household, they may eat of his bread. And if a priest's daughter be married unto a common man, that is, a non-priest, an Israelite, she shall not eat of that which is set apart from the holy things. So his own daughter cannot eat it, but a slave can, who is an Israelite. You see, because he is a member of his household, the daughter became the member of a household of somebody else, who is not a priest, because now they become one flesh. Verse 13, but if a priest's daughter be a widow, or divorced, and have no child, you see, if she has children, she's still in the same category, not a member of his household. You see, but if she has no children, and she returns to her father's house, as in her youth, she may eat of her father's bread. But there shall no common man eat thereof. And God made it very plain. Be you holy, for I am holy, and I determine what holiness is. Not men. Not the clergy. Not the ministry. You see? Not the Pharisees. Not the bishops and cardinals. Nobody determines holiness, only God. And when people determine, you know, they decide what is holy, what is not, God says that's vain worship. I don't accept it. And made it very plain. He makes the rules. And only when we follow His rules, His Torah, then we are holy. We are being sanctified by His Word, not by the Word of the Church. You see? Not by the Word of ministers. Not by the Word of any spiritual leaders or anybody. And yet, unfortunately, an awful lot of people live their life in vain. You see? In vain do they worship Me, keeping for doctrines the commandments of men. You see? And their fear of Me is taught by the traditions of men, and so forth. And it is done to this very day. And people think that they are the people of God, and they are not in those areas where they do not follow God. They are into idol worship. You see? That's the only way we can be holy, when we are strictly obedient to the teachings of the Word of God that proceeded out of His mouth. And that's why Jesus Christ made it very plain. God, the Father, is searching for such people who would worship Him in truth and His Spirit. And the only people who are going to be in that category are the people that open His Word, His teachings, His Torah, from Genesis to Revelation, and they say, if it's in the Bible, if this is what God said, I will do it. If it's not, I don't care who you are and what your name is. You see, it's not that we need to be disagreeable, but with all due respect, we tell people, you know, disagree without being disagreeable. This is not the Word of God. I would not follow it. You see? And that's the kind of people God said He's searching for. There aren't many of them. There are few of them. Most of them will go with the stream. You know, they'll go with the doctrine of the church. They don't want to rock the boat and so forth. It doesn't even have to be rebel rousers and, you know, and disagreeable people. And to begin with, we have to make sure 100% that we are true. Or else we are following our own imagination, our own understanding, and again we become idol worshippers. So the sword is two edged. It can cut both ways. You've got to be very careful about that too. Verse 14, and if a man eat of the holy thing through error, you know, people are human, make mistakes, then he shall put the fifth part thereof unto it, and shall give unto the priest the holy thing. And they shall not profane the holy things of the children of Israel, which they set apart unto the Lord, and so cause them to bear the iniquity that brings guilt when they eat their holy things. And that's what happens oftentimes spiritually. When those who are teaching the truth in the ministry, in the priesthood, in rabbinic authorities, if what they teach is not holy, if it's not from God, they are causing people to err. They are causing people to be in iniquity. And the repentance has to be done of that. And if, whatever for whatever reason, they wake up and realize, well, I've been wrong. It's like now and then, you know, I teach certain things, and then I realize when I listen to myself, I'll go through it. No, that's not correct. I made a wrong statement. I have to go back and correct it, or else, if people believe the error that I said, I'm going to cause them to bear iniquity. Because they may be, walking by it and living by it, and I have to make sure. And at the same time, also, God puts a responsibility in all of us to check out everything. Prove all things. Don't take any man's word for granted. We're all human beings and we make mistakes, and the apostles made their own mistakes too. And you can study that, when you understand it very well, there are certain areas where they made mistakes. They thought that this is what Christ said. And they taught error, and people walked by it, and they got hurt. The major one of them, you see, the major one of them is when they told everybody, and Paul was very strong on that, the Lord is coming, thinking He's coming there in their own time. And so they told all kind of things and gave many sermons, fiery sermons, and got people, uptight about it or excited or inflamed or whatever it may be. And people believed it. And the time came, Paul told them, don't get married. Time is at hand. Christ is coming. Time of distress. Tribulation is coming, and so forth. People didn't get married. They didn't have children. Well, God commanded them, be fruitful and multiply. You see? Now, he believed sincerely that Christ was coming in his day, but he was in error. He was wrong. You see, we human beings make mistakes. Servants of God make mistakes, so it's up to us also to prove all things. This way we don't say, well, he told me that, and I followed him, and my worship was in vain, now I'm hurt, and so forth. And people say, well, this is what the church is all about, and this is the ministry, and they make mistakes. Who needs it? You see, it doesn't work like that. All of us are responsible. And so God says to the priest, you better, be careful. Do not cause them, the children of Israel, to bear iniquity, the iniquity that brings guilt, when they eat their holy things. For I am the Eternal who sanctify them, and He's not going to sanctify us through error. So it's important to always remember that. And the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, verse 17, speak unto Aaron and to his sons and unto all the children of Israel. Now these are instructions for the entirety of the body of witnesses, Edah, the people of God, the bride, the wife, from Jesus Christ, from the God of Israel. He said, speak to all of them and say unto them, whosoever he be of the house of Israel, all the strangers in Israel, you see, all of them are under the same Torah. And God made it always very plain that all of his people should be obeying the same law. That's what he said. Do not think that I came to do away with the law of the prophets. Later on in the New Testament, people misunderstood it, especially among the non-Jews. And they thought, well, you know, part of the law is not for us, or majority is not for us, just a little bit, and the rest is only for the Jews. You see, and James told them, no, you got Moses, he's read in the synagogue every Sabbath day, and all of you should be abiding by it. But, you know, we're patient with you. God is patient with you until you learn and walk in it. Anyway, we're going to stop at this point. This is again Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until next time.